Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast, and we're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
Happy almost Halloween.
It's October, it's Halloween.
Yeah, oh yeah. On today's show, we're chatting all about Halloween on Disney+. Ooh. But
yes.
First,
yes.
Krista,
yes.
What are you drinking today?
So I'm actually drinking the same thing I was drinking last episode. It's October, my pumpkin-loving heart is very happy. I only drink pumpkin beer in October, so I'm drinking all the pumpkin beer.
Oh.
So I am drinking Ghost Rider Pumpkin Brown Ale from Fernie Brewing Company again. It's another local brewery, and I am enjoying it greatly.
If you like pumpkin.
It's
the beer for you.
Which you should like.
I, on the other hand, am sampling some lovely Mountain Juice from the Pass Beer Company.
Ooh, another shout out for Pass Beer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mountain Juice. It'll give you the courage to get on the mountains at Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. I like it. Mountains are calling. I wish mountains were calling and I could go.
Okay. Yes. So what nerdy things are occupying you this week?
So we literally just finished watching The Boys on Amazon Prime.
Maybe not the most Disney-friendly show in the world.
Definitely not.
But
definitely adult.
It is kind of springing from the whole popular culture superhero zeitgeist.
You just used the word zeitgeist.
I did.
Yes.
But that's what it is. It
totally is.
It's very satirical.
Yep.
It's very political.
It's very graphic.
And it's super graphic.
Yeah.
Don't watch it with the kiddies.
Or if you're offended by anything graphic.
It is super fun and
And I really, really enjoyed it. Mm. I just really like the commentary on superheroes.
That's a good one.
Yep, that's a great one. So I'm really enjoying that.
Excellent. Me as well.
Yes. Yeah, we were maybe having a huge conversation about this before we hit record.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't have the podcast for The Boys. So
we don't do that. Exactly. Also, we're counting down, Brandon. It's still October.
It's still October.
So what does that mean?
Oh, there's 11 days.
11. 11. So close.
11 days till The Mandalorian comes out. We're getting there.
We're
getting there.
Every day we're closer and closer. And that brings us to our current news. Disney A News Update.
All right. Well, I was tasked with finding some news this time.
Yes.
So, since we don't have regular park operations and all that, they've been shifting the Halloween treats and tasty yum-yums to Downtown Disney. One of the ones we keep seeing popping up, we don't get to sample these things, unfortunately, being where we are, but one of the ones that we keep seeing time and time again is the ice cream. What is the ice cream? You've seen the ice cream.
Yes.
Straw and salt?
Salt and straw.
Salt and straw?
Yes.
Yeah, they have the creepy crawly critters.
Oh, okay. I want to back up here. I don't know why you're using the word unfortunately. We cannot taste the
I'd be curious to try this, but
no.
The creepy crawly critter matcha ice cream with real chocolate covered crickets.
That's why I'm taking the word unfortunately out of your statement.
Okay. Well, maybe you will like these ones more.
Okay.
Though, Marceline's Confectionery has unveiled their Halloween treats, including a Magic Mirror Crispy Treat, which is basically like a Rice Krispies with some frosting made to look like the Magic Mirror.
You know what? The Rice Krispies treats at Disneyland, though, are amazing. So, yes, I would much rather have that than crickets.
And the frosting design is pretty cool.
That's very cool. Yeah, I love the Magic Mirror. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll post a link to that. And
everything Rice Krispies.
They also have a churro marshmallow wand.
What?
It's got a thick marshmallow center covered in caramel, white chocolate, and some churro cinnamon sugar seasoning.
Okay, so we need to have a conversation right now. Because are you honestly telling me that if we were in Downtown Disney right now, you would see a churro marshmallow concoction wand and be like, nah, I'm going to go for the crickets.
Well, where else can you go get some cricket ice cream?
Where else can you go get churros and marshmallows?
Fair enough, fair enough. Anyway, there's lots of tasty treats in Downtown Disney. If you can get there, maybe go check them out.
I will tell you, though, the crickets thing, that's very Halloween. So I do get that. Mm. I would probably vote for the Magic Mirror myself, but I am not into the eating of the bugs. It would be something very cool to say you tried, though.
Excellent.
All right, good news.
So that brings us to our main topic.
Disney Plus and chill.
Yes. Our main topic is we are actually looking at Disney Plus and Halloween.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Very seasonal.
It is very seasonal. And we have been watching and rewatching a whole bunch of Halloween themed shows that you can find on Disney Plus.
All on Disney Plus.
And I really enjoy arguing with you about which shows are good and which ones are not.
Oh, so you like being wrong?
No, I like being correct. Oh. And you can stew in your wrongness over there.
So we have taken 12 shows you can find on Disney Plus, and we're gonna rank them.
Yeah, let's
12 through one.
Yes, we're gonna count down to the best one.
So we're gonna take turns and talk about our 12th and so forth.
And, yeah, and we'll alternate.
We'll alternate, and we can disagree with each other, and it should be fun.
Be wrong.
It should be fun.
Yeah. All right. So, do you want to start?
I will start.
Okay. Well, number 12.
Number 12 on this list. It has to be the live-action Haunted Mansion movie, starring Eddie Murphy.
All right.
Early 2000s Eddie Murphy.
2003.
If he wasn't making waffles as the donkey, you didn't want to see him.
That's fair.
Just don't watch it. Just don't. The Haunted Mansion is a great ride.
It is so good.
It is not a good movie. No. Just, it's not fun bad. It's not good bad. It's just bad. Stay away.
I do agree that Eddie Murphy is at his best when making waffles. However, that was not my number 12.
What is your number 12?
The Black Cauldron.
Oh.
So, there's some cool things in The Black Cauldron. I will give it that. First actual computer animation was done in The Black Cauldron.
Good trivia.
Yes, good trivia. So, don't ask me that because I know the answer.
I'm not asking you that one.
It often doesn't get cited as that, though, because Black Cauldron likes to get swept under the rug.
That's probably fair reasons.
That is what I was going to say. It is like you're watching it and you're like, I don't know who thought this was a good idea. I like the idea that they try to do something darker. I like there's a magic pig in it, and pigs are my favorite animals. I should love this movie, but it just fails on every level. It tried to do too many things so hard. No, it's hard to watch.
We'll get to my thoughts on The Black Cauldron when I rank it.
Yeah. We'll get to my thoughts on Haunted Mansion when I rank it.
Okay, number 11. This one's going to be a little controversial.
Mine's going to be controversial as well. Don't you dare say something amazing.
I'm going with Hocus Pocus.
No,
as my number 11.
No.
It's become a cult classic in recent years, and I'm just not digging it. I think it's highly overrated.
Oh, wrong.
It's hammy without being endearing.
Yes, it's so endearing.
No. It's not fun or creepy or anything. And if I was going to have a kid's movie about witches, I would watch Roald Dahl's The Witches.
Hey, they're making a new one of those.
They are making a new one starring Anne Hathaway.
Ryan, I'm so excited.
But the original I loved as a kid.
I've never watched the original.
Well, maybe we have to add it to our other list.
Maybe another list then. Okay. Mine's also going to be controversial. You're wrong, by the way. You didn't have that nostalgia factor, though, for Hocus Pocus, I guess.
I watched it as a kid. I just didn't like it
really?
As a kid either, no?
Oh, so you're just wrong. Okay. Mine is going to be controversial because mine's more recent, and I know a lot of people love Maleficent. I had to rank Maleficent so low because, and it kind of actually hurt for me to do. I think it tried to do too much. When I first started watching it, and we just watched it recently, like I hadn't seen it before, I was like, oh man, I'm going to end up really liking this movie. And then it continued on, and I was like, no, I'm not. I love the idea of giving Maleficent a backstory. I like making her more sympathetic character, but she's still a villain, and they tried to make her a good guy. Moreover, basically, I think they were just relying on Angelina Jolie just being Angelina Jolie and carrying the movie. And she does a great job and everything. But the story just fell flat. It didn't fit. It tried to be loftier that it just couldn't reach the lofts it was trying to reach. And it was just trying to stand on Angelina Jolie to do it. And it just didn't make it. Also, I used to love Aurora. I think I love her more when she's sleeping half the movie, because not a fan of what they did with Sleeping Beauty herself. And it, or not to mention Flora, Fauna, and Meriwether.
Oh, they did them dirty.
Oh, I love them as characters. I love their dynamic, and I wanted to slap them the whole time. Basically, you can... I love the idea of making, you know, the anti-hero or a sympathetic villain or something like that, but she's still a villain, and they did her a disservice as well. So I'm going Maleficent.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you too hard, because my number 10 pick was Maleficent.
Was it really? Okay.
I'm just not entirely sure why this movie exists, except, of course, to make a bunch of money.
Which it did.
Which it did. Yeah, fair enough. Mm-hmm. It was kind of fun. It was interesting to flesh out Maleficent as a character, like you say, but just flipping the switch and making her into a hero because you didn't understand the full story, it's stupid. Mm. Aurora was plain and ditzy and just terrible.
Oh, she was beautiful, and she actually had more character in the animated.
Yes. And the CGI was super uneven. That was something I noticed. They had some very excellent CGI, and then they had some that looked like a bad PlayStation game. So I'm not really sure what was going on there. Angelina Jolie seemed to enjoy herself.
Yeah, yeah. Costuming was great.
Yeah, and the makeup and all that. Yeah, they did some good stuff, but I could have done without that movie existing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I love about the original animated, I'm not just like anti-making live-action movies, but the gothic beauty of the animated is so impressive. And they have some beautiful moments in the live action, but they took away a lot of that style as well they cheapened it.
It did not have the gothic style. No.
No. I mean, yeah. Her costuming alone when she's drawn is just beautiful. But anyway, Maleficent didn't rank very high for us.
No.
So your number 10 was Maleficent. My number 10, you know, it wasn't going to go any higher than this. This is as high as I could possibly rate The Haunted Mansion. It is a little higher than yours.
It's too high, but
I will tell you why it did not rank bottom of the barrel for me. The Haunted Mansion, first of all, I'm very hopeful they do good things with the new one that's coming out. We'll see.
I'm not holding my breath.
Well, who knows? But there are some details from the original storyline for the Haunted Mansion that they pay homage to in the movie, and for those trivia pieces alone, it had to bump it up a little bit. The original story for the Haunted Mansion and the heartbreak and the bride and all of those details, the butler's role and everything like that, by putting those into the Haunted Mansion, it I like those Easter eggs in there, and like the guy hanging and everything like that, and it reminded me of the ride so much that I did get to smile a little bit watching it when I wasn't rolling my eyes, and because of that it bumped it to number 10.
See, I missed those details because my eyes had rolled so far that they were in the back of my head.
Oh yeah, it's Eddie. Yeah, no, it's not great, but I do get those happy Disneyland feelings with some of those Easter eggs, and so I didn't miss them, so I'm
okay, wow, fair enough.
So number 9. What
number
you got?
9. I'm moving on to The Black Cauldron.
Okay, I was wondering when it would show up on yours.
Yes, this is as high as I could put it. I actually quite liked this movie as a child. Mm-hmm. It's a little darker.
Which you would like.
I like that twisted stuff.
Yep.
I always was drawn to the darker and twisted nature of things like that.
That's a little concerning.
It's also the movie that almost killed Disney.
Right.
It almost bankrupted Disney. It's just not good.
No, it's not.
Unfortunately, watching it again as an adult, I realized it's terrible. It's a hatchet job.
It really is.
Of a plot. The source material is several books called The Chronicles of Prydain. And they kind of tried to work in different parts of the book series, which was apparently supposed to be like Tolkien for kids.
Right.
And it's supposed to be very good, but they did not translate that into the movie. The animation is beautiful.
That's true.
But that's about all you can say about it.
Yeah. I'm shocked it ranked as high as that did for you. Why did it get as high? Like, not that number 9 is particularly high, but why did it get as high as number 9 for you, knowing what a, you know?
Well, I did enjoy it as a male-focused...
Okay. It wasn't a princess movie. It
wasn't a princess movie growing up.
Even though
and
there was a princess
movie. I rated it higher than the really low things on my list.
Okay. It's the top of the low.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
Yeah. No, and the other one with that one is they have all these random characters they try to shove together and they didn't make sense together.
It's their hatchet job of the plot of many books.
Yeah. Whereas if they streamlined it, they could have done something awesome.
Mm.
It's just too bad. Okay. Number 8.
Didn't you do your number 9?
Oh, my number 9. My number 9. Sorry, I missed that one. Return to Oz.
Hmm.
Actually, so we just... Well, you watched it for the first time. I rewatched it. I watched this movie a lot as a kid. And even when we were watching it, I was like, I remember having nightmares about the opening sequence that I didn't realize what a sanatorium was when I was a little kid watching it. And it is terrifying.
It's a harsh, dark film.
It is. Hmm. And I loved it as a child. Basically, what had to happen is I love most of these movies. And I had to, there's a chunk of them in the middle that I had to shuffle like 4 times. And at the end of the shuffling, Return to Oz made it on the bottom. A lot of the characters when Dorothy gets back to Oz didn't fit very well with the storytelling, or they just kind of were haphazard in there. And I think that's why I had to move them down. I remember Jack Pumpkinhead being cooler than it was when I watched it again, and but the beginning fear of being that, like, that sanatorium is very dark, it's very gritty, and that if the whole tone had stayed similar to that, I would have probably had to rank it higher, but it was quite uneven for me, so I had to rank it lower.
Terrifying. I can't disagree with any of that, but we'll get to more of my thoughts when I put it on my list.
Basically, I like it. I just didn't like it as much as the other ones.
Okay, so now we will get to number 8.
Okay.
You were very anxious for number 8, but so we're going to get to actual number 8 now.
I keep wanting to know what you ranking things.
Halloween Town at number 8. It's higher than the other.
That's fair. Okay.
There's many good movies on this list.
There's a surprising number of good movies on this list. Okay.
So, number 8. It's not good, but it's fun bad.
It is fun bad.
It's goofy and it's cheesy and it's got Debbie Reynolds in it.
I know.
Come on.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
Okay. So how come it... So you're having that for number 8. I'm going to go another cheese way for number 8. I'm going Hocus Pocus.
Okay.
And
that's actually...
Lower than you thought I was going to
rank. Slightly lower. You like Hocus Pocus.
I love Hocus Pocus. But we are at the point where, like, 9 through 1 are all movies I enjoy.
Mm.
Like, I would sit and watch any of these again. And Hocus Pocus, I went a lot of years without watching it. And then I watched it again. Bette Midler on her own.
She is.
Could rank this movie much higher.
She does a good job.
She does, but she can't carry the movie.
Yeah. It doesn't work for me. But.
And, Sarah Jessica Parker. So there's a lot of great movies. But watching it again as an adult, I was like, I'm nostalgic for it. I really like it. I love it. It's fun to watch, but it isn't as well done or as happy cheesy as the other ones on my list. Cause everything else that ranks higher than it fits into one of those two categories. I don't think I watched it enough as a kid for it to fill that whole nostalgia factor, but I enjoy it. I will probably watch it again this month because I love it. I watched it twice last year. And I'll probably watch it again. I'll probably watch it most Halloweens. It's just not fantastic.
There is better movies on the list.
There are better movies on the list. And it isn't as good as those ones. Number 7.
Number 7. Okay, so this is bringing me to Return to Oz.
Mm.
I had never seen this movie.
Right.
And the entire time I was watching it, I was just kind of in awe that it actually got made.
You kept saying that.
I literally did. How did this movie get made?
It was the 80s. It was a different time.
It was a different time. Holy. It's a frank and realistic examination of what would have literally happened to Dorothy if she had come back to Depression era Kansas,
right,
and said that she had this magical journey,
mm-hmm,
to this strange land. They throw her in the nut house, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and no fault. Auntie M is trying to help.
But that's what they would do.
Totally.
And it was harsh and, mm-hmm, and frank and raw.
Which makes you like it?
I liked that, like you say, that opening, mm-hmm, sequence was scary and dark. And then they get to weird, strange Oz, kind of. And it falls apart.
Yeah.
It becomes boring.
Yeah. And how on earth is something filled with all those magical creatures and this horrific take on this fantastic land boring?
It was boring.
But it was boring.
And I literally fell asleep during the climax. So, yeah.
It's uneven.
It's very uneven. And I give him credit for being bold and, mm-hmm, trying. But, I don't know, turning a beloved musical into this dystopian, yeah, horror maybe was not the right choice.
And I do get that it was based on the books that way, but the first movie did so fantastically that, yes, I understand the books are based on it, and I love, love, love books. However, that doesn't mean every single book needs to be made into a movie. And this is probably one they could have just left alone.
And it was also a guy kind of just making up things to entertain his children and
basically, yeah,
nieces and everything.
Yeah.
And funny trivia.
Okay, yeah, trivia.
You know why it's called Oz?
Why?
Because when he was trying to make up the stories, mm-hmm, he looked to his filing cabinets and it was labeled O to Z.
Fantastic. I didn't know that. That's, mm-hmm, fantastic. I love it.
True story.
Yeah, very cool. So it actually hurts my heart to rate my number 7.
Number 7.
James and the Giant Peach. I love this movie. I don't love it as much, but it's in the bottom half for me. Top of the bottom half, but in the bottom half. Roald Dahl is...
It's 12, so it's below the bottom half.
Oh, that's right. Continue. Yes. Okay, you're right. Roald Dahl is brilliant. But it's, again, it's uneven to me. And that really throws it off for me. I liked it way more as a kid than I did watching it as an adult. I think... maybe you need to be a child to enjoy this. And I was never a kid who loved these, like, bugs or anything like that. But I liked them more when I was a kid watching it than I did now. And it wasn't any fault of that. Like, they're fantastic and everything. I think maybe they had too many characters. Like, maybe it translated better in the book than it did with that. Or maybe they could have leaned harder into James as a character. But I don't know. And the song Family that they do was always one of my favorite Disney songs growing up and everything. I love claymation style movies. I love the darkness of that and everything. And there's some fantastic imagination, but just it was uneven to me and it didn't flow. It felt super choppy and I didn't recognize it as a kid and I do as an adult. So it's going number 7.
Okay, well, my number 6.
That was 7. Oh, yeah, your number 6 is next. Yeah.
Is also James and the Giant Peach.
Oh, is it really? Okay, so it only ranked one higher for you.
One higher. Okay. It's a bizarre movie.
It is weird, hey?
I read a lot of Roald Dahl when I was a kid, and I liked them.
Mm-hmm.
I liked the twisted nature. I was, like I say, I was always drawn to that twisted sense of being and trying to turn everything on its, mm-hmm, head. But this one's kind of just nonsensical to me.
It is. I think the book does it better.
Maybe. I don't super remember the book that well, but it was never one of my favorites either. Mm. I read some more that were better of his. The characters I liked, like you say, the claymation style I'm really fantastic. Drawn to, which we'll talk about later in this list, sure.
Got a couple coming up.
And the musical aspect, which I had completely forgotten about, mm-hmm, until we rewatched it, was good. They had some good songs in there, and some great voice actors and actresses.
I couldn't believe some of them.
They had a list. So, for that reason, I enjoyed watching it, but it was a bit strange.
Yeah, it was. It was one that I loved as a kid, and maybe just didn't grow with me. So we're in the top 6 now.
You're
halfway through. So number 6.
Your top 6.
The Adventures of Ichabod and Mr. Toad. So specifically Ichabod Crane there. I watched that again as an adult, and I think I loved it more. I love that story, first of all. I love the story of the Headless Horseman.
Headless Horseman is a fantastic story.
It's fantastic. I read the do you know I never read the short story until last year?
Not a very good English teacher.
I know, I'm like the worst English teacher ever apparently. And it's short and everything. I was like, why did it take me so long? It's fantastic. And Disney does this beautiful job of it. It is, you know, open-ended questions are asked, and it's done as this great legend, which is exactly how it should be done. You know what? And I like the whole movie because it was done with Mr. Toad, and enjoyed his story more.
Well, they
kind of
mash
too.
Them together
they
after
do.
The fact.
Yep, they
like,
totally
it's
do.
Not
they too. Have a few other ones like that too, yes. Like they did Fun and Fancy Free like that, mm-hmm. and different ones as well. So like the whole movie is worth watching. Obviously for Halloween, that the best part of that is Ichabod Crane. Also, one of the best names in all of literature and film, Ichabod Crane.
It
I mean,
a fantastic
it's perfect,
name,
right?
Yeah.
And the animation is fantastic with it. You watch that and you're like, that's Halloween. I watched it all the time growing up. I watched it again as an adult. Love it more. Totally love it. The only reason it is only rated number 6 is because of what else is on this list.
And there's a lot of good things on this list.
There's a lot of good things on this list.
Which brings us to number 5.
Okay, yeah, now
we're getting into the nitty-gritty.
Honestly,
top 5.
My 5 through 2 were like...
It's tough.
This movable. Yeah,
it's tough.
So good, okay.
So, my number 5.
Yep.
Monsters, Inc.
Really?
Monsters, Inc. isn't one of Pixar's best films.
No.
For me, but... If you're Pixar, that's a pretty high bar.
Right.
Well, we could do a whole Pixar episode.
We probably
and
do
we
one.
Might come to blows over that. Monsters, Inc. is super fun.
It is.
It's got some great animation, especially for its time.
Sully's hair.
Exactly. Oh. That's written down here. Sully's hair. Sully's hair, exclamation mark.
Oh, he not only does it have an exclamation mark, he has 3 exclamation marks written down there.
I watched an entire making of about how much money and time and effort
yep.
they put into animating Sully's hair.
Just
so.
His hair alone. And it is worth it. Like, mm-hmm. beautiful. Yeah,
yeah,
okay.
Good animation.
Mm-hmm. So why is it number 5 and not higher for you then?
Well, that... There's just stuff that's better than it. Okay. Higher on the list. I like Monsters, Inc. It's just not as good as the others.
My number 5, Monsters, Inc.
Hmm.
Yeah, Monsters, Inc. Love it. Every single time I watch it, I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's fun.
Makes me cry, makes me laugh, because yes, I cry at almost every Pixar movie, because of course I do.
Also some random commercials.
Yeah, sad songs.
Other...
Hockey commercials.
Direct-to-video, Disney movies.
All the time. Piglet's Big Movie, I cannot watch without bawling.
Lady and the Tramp 4, The Adventure Home.
Okay, so I cry at a lot of things, but Monsters, Inc., every time I watch it, I do cry. And I laugh like crazy. The voice acting is great. The animation is fantastic. It is just not as good as 1 through 4. That's it.
Billy Crystal is fantastic.
Billy Crystal's amazing. Yeah. I'm convinced. Oh, they're so good. Fantastic. Another fantastic song that If I Didn't Have You, do you know that was on our playlist at our wedding during our wedding dinner? But there's some great music. It's a great, great movie. It isn't one of Pixar's best, but like you said, that's a stupid high bar to reach. So really, like, it's just number 1 through 4 is so good. Speaking of number 4.
Number 4 for me was Ichabod and Mr. Toad.
Oh, okay. I was wondering where that was.
I absolutely loved
so good.
This movie mm-hmm. when I was a kid. I wore out a VHS tape of these two,
mm-hmm.
especially Ichabod.
Yep.
It was something that was abnormal for a cartoon.
Totally.
It was scary. Like, legitimately scary.
Yeah.
And Ichabod himself... express that fear so amazingly mm-hmm. in this animation, and yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, not only that, I actually like the pairing with Ichabod and Mr. Toad. I get that they were just kind of like shoved together and everything like that, but the tone fits really
it's perfect
well.
Theming tone, it's great. Yeah.
And now I just really want to go ride Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, and
which is another bizarre
right
kids ride.
Actually, that ride fits Ichabod really well.
It's yeah, let's just take the kids to hell.
Yeah, why not? It'll be fun.
Yeah.
good choice. So, and it's just not higher because of what else?
Well, there's
the
3 other movies on this list. Come on.
Okay, fair enough. One of my favorite Halloween movies to watch, you might have noticed what has not shown up on my list yet, which was on yours very low. Halloween Town is my number 4.
You do love yourself some Halloween Town.
I know it isn't very good, but it leans so hard into the not being very good. It embraces it with every iota of its being. It is my ultimate cheesy, happy movie. I remember going to when we went to Rocky Horror Picture Show a couple times in the last place we lived, and sitting there sewing my costume for it and watching the marathon of all the Halloween Town movies was the first time I saw it. And I was just like, man, this is Halloween. And we'll watch it when we're carving pumpkins sometimes during the year. And it just, it screams happy Halloween to me. It is happy. It is silly. It is so ridiculous, but it knows it's so ridiculous. It is just, it, every piece of cheesy Halloween, that is Halloween Town.
If you're a millennial.
And technically I'm in the age range still for millennial. Also, Debbie Reynolds can do no wrong.
She is pretty sweet,
right? And they put Debbie Reynolds in this ridiculous movie where she gets to tell everyone that being typical is overrated, and it's just like, whatever, be a witch, that's fine. And I was like, yeah, yes. And yeah, I love Halloween Town.
I know you love Halloween Town.
Are you surprised it's not my number one?
No.
Okay, you know what is my number one.
I think we're gonna have a lot of agreement going forward.
Well, so far we have the same three that are open.
Exactly.
Yeah, so this is interesting.
It's just gonna depend on what's 1, 2, 3.
Exactly.
Okay, top three.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Here we go. This one was tough.
Mm-hmm.
Number three.
My top three was tough too.
Go ahead. Coco.
Okay.
As number three. It's the newest film on the list.
It is.
Which might have hurt it a little bit for me.
Right, you don't have the nostalgia.
There's no nostalgia factor, but it's just a beautiful film.
It is.
The animation, the story, Day of the Dead has become a little bit more ingrained in our culture, but it's not our culture.
Right.
It's Halloween adjacent.
Yeah, it's not Halloween exactly.
It's a completely different way of looking at that time of year and the relationship with the dead and all that. It's not scary.
Right.
It's like a loving thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, I love it. It's in my top three. So, but it's the third.
It hurt you to put it as low as three.
It hurt, but it's got to go there.
That's fair. I know what else. I know what's in those top three that we both had there. Coco is not my number three. I agree. Beautiful film. It hurt me to put Frankenweenie at number three. I think we had watched it before when it first came out, and then we hadn't since then.
2012 it came out.
Right.
And yeah, I believe we saw it when it was brand new.
And not since then. But we just rewatched it, and speaking of movies I cried at, right?
Yeah.
Man, was that
anytime you bring a dog into the equation, it's recipe for tears.
No kidding. But fantastic movie. I was like, first of all of the homage to all the classic horror films is just great. You bring a dog into it. Your voice acting is fantastic. I love the claymation style. It's Tim Burton, ultimate Tim Burton, right? And
he gets a little bit too much credit for that, but
yes, okay. Well, I know you're going to talk about that later. But anyway, it's that style, right? And it's great. It hurt me a little to rank it at number three, but we know what these other number two ones are, and something had to go there. And I switched my number three and my number two around 4 times. So it's just, that's where it is.
Okay, well, my number two is Frankenweenie.
Oh my God, did we say number one?
We'll get there. Claymation style,
yep.
Just fantastic. Like you say, it's referencing those classic monsters. You got your Frankenstein, you got your Dracula, you got your werewolf.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. It's just awesome. All the pop culture references in that movie.
Shout out to Mary Shelley is in that movie.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the original Frankenstein,
exactly.
Right? I think it's like a highly underrated film.
Yep.
I myself didn't even really remember it until we rewatched it this list.
And it's fantastic.
It's so good. Yeah. Go watch Frankenweenie.
Which sounds so funny to say, right? Like
it's a great name. I like it.
Right? Yeah, but you're not, when you're recommending these movies. It sounds like something that you just get, it has been forgotten about, unfortunately.
It's very good.
So that's your number two.
Mm-hmm.
Any criticisms for Frankenweenie?
I really can't.
Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Even the fact that they did it in black and white, it's perfect.
It fits it perfectly. And my number two is Coco. Yeah, I have to go Coco. It is beautifully, beautifully done. I loved it. Not only did I cry in it, flat out bawled for like 10 minutes watching it. It is beautiful. It is heartfelt. The animation is insane. And I do like that it is a different take on a cultural event and way of looking at things that is not necessarily typical to us, but it's so well done and respectful and embraces it. And the music is insanely good. I think I have like 8 songs on my most listened to podcast. I don't even think there's 8 songs in the thing, but it's so, so good. And I just really liked it. I think the idea was great. And yeah, all the praise for Coco.
And it's good to see that well done representation.
And that, yeah, I'm hoping we see more and more of that all the time. But I think this one, I know it's gotten a lot of recognition, and it is every ounce of it and then some is earned. Yeah, really. All and I always have found Day of the Dead very interesting, and I love the fact that it's more well known now. Yeah. So Coco is my number two, which brings us to the number one.
Okay, number one. Let's say it together.
Because it's got to be.
We agree.
I know. Apparently we agree on
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Of course. You go ahead.
This is the real Halloween Town.
It is.
It's a classic.
It is. Yep.
It brought Claymation back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now it's this, they've done it in a few different movies, like Coraline,
yes,
etc. But this is what brought it to prominence.
It is the ultimate in Claymation.
And it's beautifully done. And it's also a really good musical.
It really is.
The songs
Danny
in it
Danny Elfman
are,
all the way.
are fantastic.
Yep.
And I actually really like Jack as a character because he's more of a flawed protagonist than you would typically see in an animated film.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really good. And plus, it's got the bonus of being like a dual holiday.
You can put up Jack and Sally and everything. You can put up Nightmare Before Christmas stuff in September for fall and keep it up through Christmas.
Yeah, maybe not Oogie Boogie at
maybe
Christmas
not,
time.
Maybe not. But Zero?
Zero.
She's
Zero.
Got a glowing nose.
You could put Zero in your Christmas tree, no
you
problem.
You know we're going to get a Zero ornament to go on our Christmas tree.
Heck yeah.
Totally agree. The music is fantastic. I actually, I find the theming of it so interesting because it's saying Jack did something. He was kind of bored. He tries to do something different, but then he finds out, you know, yay to be happy the way he is and everything. So it's almost like you should just settle and stuff, but that's not actually the point behind it. It's what sometimes when we try things and we gain new experiences, we find that we are happy with ourselves. Like it comes to a more full realization of his identity. I've always loved Nightmare Before Christmas. Growing up, you could never find any Nightmare Before Christmas merch. I distinctly remember, do you know the first Christmas gift you ever gave me was a gift certificate to go buy the Nightmare Before Christmas DVD because you could never find it anywhere. And at the mall, we found one copy and we were broke university students. So that was my, it wasn't even a gift card because we're too old for that. It was a gift certificate that you gave me.
On paper,
yes. It was an actual physical paper piece that you gave me specifically to go buy Nightmare Before Christmas because it used to be so hard to find any Nightmare stuff. And I love it. I love the fact that, I love the fact that all the questions don't need to be answered. They're just there and they're beautiful and it's just like this world.
So, yes, the lore, the background lore and world building that it does, mm-hmm, is fantastic. Like, it shows that there's this wood with all the different holidays. It makes your imagination go.
I love it.
And it is fantastic.
And it brings together my two favorite holidays, which I really love because I'm like, I love Halloween all, not quite, but almost as much as I love Christmas. And I get to amalgamate them all. And just like, there's also this, like, yeah, we can read into it a fair bit and be like, we can coexist with other cultures and respect each other. And that doesn't mean you need to take over everything and be like, I can do it better, because, you know, you can't. This kind of thing. The characters are beautiful. The animation is beautiful. The music is beautiful. The characters are fantastic. It is one of the best movies that, yeah, it is the best movie on this list. Is one of the best movies on Disney Plus, period. I don't care if it's July, you can watch this movie. It just is awesome.
It's fun.
It's fun.
So yeah, that's our top 12.
Yes.
Halloween movies you can find on Disney Plus. They have some more, like the entire Halloween Town series.
Yes.
And some other older or more obscure ones.
Right. And if you go on Disney Plus, they actually have a collection there where you can watch all of these, like the episodes even from the TV shows.
They have, they like Phineas and Ferb, and then they have all the Treehouse of Horror Simpsons episodes.
So much fun.
Which is super fun. That could be an entire episode in and of itself.
We need October to be a longer month so we can do these episodes.
Yeah. We'll keep Fox content Disney adjacent for now.
Okay.
But,
there's also a couple, like, classic, there are two Mickey Mouse, well, one's a Donald Duck cartoon that really stand out as being Halloween for me. One was one of the original ones, and that was Lonesome Ghosts.
Mm.
That one I might have watched more than any other Mickey cartoon. It was always on, probably every Halloween, where Mickey, Donald, and Goofy are ghost hunters. You remember watching that one?
I don't.
Oh, we should totally watch that. And these three ghosts there's more than three, are in a haunted house and they're really bored. So they decide to call the ghost hunters, which are these three individuals. And they basically just play pranks on them the whole time and scare them. And that is the premise of the cartoon. It's a lot of fun. It is super, it's a short cartoon, very Halloween fun. And then the other one is Trick or Treat. You know that one? That's Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Mm.
And of course, they decide they're going to wreak havoc with poor Uncle Donald.
They are kind of jerks. Yes.
And they get help from a witch to do it because it's Halloween and they're trick-or-treating.
Until you get to DuckTales, Huey, Dewey, and Louie are kind of jerks.
Yeah, they kind of just antagonize Uncle Donald. Can't imagine why he loses his temper all the time, hey?
Yeah, he's had his wits end. What's the animated with the dancing skeletons?
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh.
That's
a Silly Symphony.
It's a Silly Symphony, but I don't remember what it's called. I'm actually going to look it up here while we're chatting.
Okay, well. While you're talking about that...
Oh, do you know what it's actually called? The Skeleton Dance.
The Skeleton Dance. Well, yeah. that makes perfect sense.
It was cleverly named.
Yes. And I believe that is on Disney Plus
that
as well.
And that's from 1929. That is how old that is.
It is very... It's that old style of animation, mm-hmm. but I love that old style mm-hmm. of animation. So
you want to see classic Disney animation. Mm-hmm. Doesn't get more classic than that. Yeah.
Okay. So that's going to bring us to... trivia time.
Uh-oh. Okay. All right. So, last time I asked you trivia.
I
went, you know, in the spirit of all Halloween, I asked you some villain trivia. So let's...
And they were evil questions.
Because they're villainous. I was being villainous. Okay. So, let's just hear how that went. How many dozen eggs does Gaston eat every day in Beauty and the Beast?
When he's a lad or when he's grown?
When he's grown.
Four dozen eggs.
Okay.
Because he's roughly the size of a barge.
Okay,
moving on.
All right, question number two. Hades has two sidekicks.
Mm-hmm.
What are their names?
I haven't a clue.
They're demons, if that helps.
Yeah.
Okay, do you want to guess or just big question mark?
I don't know.
Okay. All right. So we'll just leave it as you're going to have that one wrong. And then our last question, let's go even more classic, Cinderella. So the evil stepmother from Cinderella, do you know her name?
The evil stepmother?
Yes.
Ms. Evil Stepmother.
That is impressive. Question number one was, how many dozen eggs does Gaston eat for breakfast?
I was waffling on this one. I was playing the song through my head because I do know Beauty and the Beast.
And you sang the song.
I in my head, not out loud. I wouldn't subject it. I went one low.
You went for when he was a lad.
Yeah.
You said four dozen. It was five dozen. All right. Question number two was, in Hercules, Hades has two sidekicks, and I asked you their names. You said you had no idea.
No, not a hot clue.
The answer is Pain and Panic.
Hmm.
Yeah, they're little demons. They run around, and yeah, funny looking. Okay, and then the last question was the evil stepmother from Cinderella. I have actually a little bit of sympathy for Lady Tremaine. And it isn't just because if I was a villain, I would be Lady Tremaine.
Well, she does have a nice cat.
Yeah, exactly. She just wants good things for her kids, and also Lucifer the cat.
Lucifer the cat, which is a good name for a cat.
It's a great name for a cat. I should have asked you that one.
Speaking of, as our cat.
Our cat just walked right by the,
yes,
the computer. Okay. So that was your questions. Now it's your turn to ask me.
Okay. So while I'm not going to ask you three questions, mm-hmm, per se, they're going to be kind of related.
Oh, I'm worried. Okay.
It's all going to be box office.
Uh-oh.
Questions.
I'm so bad at this kind of stuff. Okay.
So, we're going to discount Avengers, MCU, and okay, Star Wars. Now, they're under the Disney umbrella now.
Uh-huh.
But we're not going to count those
for
this
Disney
question. Just okay. Disney. So, what is the highest grossing, mm-hmm, Disney film?
Are we counting Pixar?
No, not for this part.
Okay, just straight up Disney.
First part A.
Is it animated or live action, or can you tell me?
Okay, so part A is going to be just Disney, so animated.
Uh-huh.
Part B is going to be Pixar.
Okay.
And part C is going to be live
oh,
action.
Oh, I see what you're doing. Okay,
yes.
Okay. So the first animated.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is so hard. Highest grossing. And
worldwide box office.
Okay, we're talking worldwide. Are we, like, counting for inflation and all that other fun stuff?
No, not adjusted for inflation. Just,
okay, just
straight up box office.
What got the most money? Well, I know Beauty and the Beast was the highest critically acclaimed. I think I'm going to go Beauty and the Beast.
Okay.
I'm hoping that some of that critical acclaim...
The only animated film ever nominated for Best Picture when they were only
five. Exactly. Which is why I'm saying it was the highest critically acclaimed.
That is a fantastic
movie. Totally well earned. So I'm going to hope that some of that critical acclaim equaled box office earnings and go Beauty and the Beast.
Okay. Beauty and the Beast.
No idea. Okay.
So.
Okay. Next is Pixar.
Highest grossing Pixar film.
See, this is tough because I kind of want to say Toy Story just because it was the first one. So I'm thinking maybe it was like, you know, everyone wanted to see what the heck this was about. However, I know Cars made a lot of money. I'm going to go off page. I'm going to say up. I remember all the fanfare when Up came out. And it was something totally different. It was the first time they tried to do human characters. And I remember there was a lot of conjecture on whether or not that would be successful. So I'm hoping that drove people to theaters. I'm saying up.
They have had problems with human characters,
yes,
up until that point.
Exactly.
We talked about Coco this episode.
Yes.
And that shows just how far they've
come
with human characters. If you compare,
right,
Coco to the human characters in Toy Story 1, holy cow.
We did a marathon of Toy Story movies, and seeing the progression was crazy.
The evolution of their animation is...
So that's really tough, because I know Pixar always does well at box office. So picking one out of all this, like, incredibly successful is pretty tough. I'm going to go Up, just because I remember there was a lot of question marks about that, which I'm hoping drove people to the theaters.
Okay.
Okay,
and highest grossing Disney live action non-Star Wars... Or MCU.
I think I know. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was the first Pirates. Curse of the Black Pearl.
Okay.
I think. I don't know if it's right, but that's what I'm going to go with.
Pirates. Yeah, that's a fair guess.
All right. Okay. I know you're... Well, next week, you can tune in and find out if I was right or not. But until then, you can definitely comment on our social media or contact us via our website and tell me whether or not I'm right or wrong. I'm probably wrong on at least one of them, maybe all three.
I'm not telling
you. I know you are.
No spoiler alerts here.
Okay. So special thanks to El Mule for our theme song, which you heard at the top of the show. You can find links to his music as well as the social media all up on our website.
Okay, so that's our show for today. Visit our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. And you can find us on social media Instagram at Disney A Podcast, on Facebook at Disney A, at Twitter at Disney A Podcast. We love to hear from you, so let us know on those different socials. You can find Disney A episodes on your favorite podcast streaming platforms. And if you know someone who might like this podcast, be sure to recommend Disney A to them.
Yes.
Join us next week when we talk about The Mandalorian.
We're so close.
It's going to be here. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
And until the next adventure.
TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.